Ah, we are back. Lots of stuff coming up this week. I'm Bill Hayes with Don Landry, and we'll be discussing quantum physics, the history of the beluga whale, and why croissants are so darn yummy. Okay, not
I didn't prepare for any of those topics.
Not really.
I don't think I prepared for the real ones either, so that's okay.
I'm pretty much out and out lying. We will be getting into the kicking game, a new sheriff in Hockey Town, Michael Vick's view that the Stars should be protected by the Stripes. Should the playing field be like Las Vegas? You know, what happens there stays there. It's all coming up. This is The Gist of It.
Politics, sports, entertainment, pop culture. It's all fair game here. Somewhere in the city of Toronto, two brains are about to collide. What will remain is The Gist of It. Here now are Don Landry and Bill Hayes.
While we were away, Tim Hortons opened a new store.
They do that all the time. What's so big about this?
In Dubai.
Oh.
I wonder if, first of all, the grassroots hockey program should go over very well there. Don't you agree?
Sure.
Secondly, I mean, Dubai, they do everything so much bigger. It's got to be the biggest and the best of anything, right? That's just their track record.
Pretty much so what they're doing, yeah.
I'm wondering how, you know, a Tim Hortons in Dubai, like, I'm just envisioning the Timbits are the size of basketballs. You know, like, if you were to come out with a six-pack of Timbits there, you need a few people to help you carry that giant box, don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
And roll up to the rim, I just imagine that, you know, you could be very excited, or maybe not. Roll it up. What did you win? I won a private concert from the Black Eyed Peas. Wow, that is fantastic. Not really. It's the sixth time I've won that. You know, good, another island. I've won four. Like, instead of just the coffee or the donut, these are the prizes you would win.
I'll tell you what, though. You get a lot of people into Tim Hortons.
I would travel to Dubai for my double-double just for a chance to win a concert by the Black Eyed Peas on my private island.
Bombs away, boys. Bombs away.
We have mentioned before the flood I had in my basement. I'm calling it the Great Flood of 11.
Do you know this podcast was actually postponed 1 week because of the Great Flood, folks?
Absolutely. And may eventually end up having to get moved again for some reason in the future, because there's still a lot of work going on. Now, briefly, here's what happened. There's a toilet in my basement. I used it one night when I was doing some laundry. Didn't think anything of it. I mean, why would you? Till the next morning, when there was about 4 to 6 inches of water on the basement floor. Now, the immediate impact of this was I got a chance to meet a bunch of new friends. The first set of plumbers, followed by the three other sets of plumbers I met to price the drain work that we needed to have done. Then there was the lovely bunch of new friends from the company that came to take everything out of the basement, catalog it, and also go through the stuff that wasn't damaged. Lovely bunch of guys, and they came in waves too. There was the dry cleaners, who came to take away everything that wasn't nailed down. They said everything would be back in 2 weeks. They said that 3.5 weeks ago. There's the contractors we're talking to get a quote on what to do in the basement now. And last but certainly not least, those wonderful folks who brought you the concept of the deductible. Yep, the insurance people. All new friends, all reminding me, I don't need any new friends.
This has drawn out long enough that it should, and maybe still can be, should have been a reality show on...
Oh.
On Home and Garden or something thinking? Like that. Yeah.
Because it would have been, you know what, comedy,
made some
tragedy,
money.
All rolled into one.
Yeah, you could have, you know, lemons, lemonade. You could have done that. Maybe you still can. I'm not sure what's bothering me more these days. The ongoing closure of Pottery Road.
Oh, that's a beauty, isn't it?
Still closed. Or the ongoing NFL war against kick returns. I think it's probably the ongoing war against kick returns. I like kick returns. I love kick returns. I want more. I don't want fewer. Place kickers did a nice job of putting kickoffs through the end zone, or at least deep enough so that most returners would just take a knee. And that's when they were hoofing it from their own 30. So the NFL decides to make it even easier for them by moving kickoffs to the 35. Now, with greater regularity, we're seeing boots right through the end zone. Mm-hmm. You're wasting my time. My time, your time, the players' time. If you want teams to scrimmage from their 20 after field goals and touchdowns, give them the ball and let them scrimmage from their 20 after field goals and touchdowns. Stop with the hollow charade of pretending there might be a return, because unless Bill and I are doing the kicking, there ain't going to be one.
There have been a few good returns, though. That's the interesting thing about it.
You're right. But they are up at least a third in kick-throughs and touchbacks, 33-35%. The NFL has done so much right over the years, and in some ways the football's never been better. But this is a case where I think they flat-out failed in reshaping the game. Never mind moving kickoffs back to the 30 where they were. Take another step, or five back. Have kickoffs from the 25. Let's see more returns. They're fun.
So, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm pretty sure I'm not, you are not an advocate of the way that the NFL is dealing with
it. Well, thanks for listening. Yes, I appreciate that.
Well, I was trying to be somewhat subtle about this. I think it's safe to say that, and you know what, you may have a point. Maybe they've gone too far here. My argument would be that this has nothing to do with the game, that this was the owners looking at all the money they're paying for injured guys and going, you know, we can save some money by... Yeah. Not having guys injured on plays that are clearly, you know, causing an awful lot of injuries.
Yeah, I realize that.
Injuries.
I realize that, but I don't care. Okay. I mean, I do realize, you know, that that may in fact be, but I don't care as a fan. I just want to see more kick returns. As I said, they're fun, they're exciting, they're terrific. I want more, not fewer. The kicking rules in both leagues, I don't think are perfect, to tell you the truth. You know, I don't think that the single point rule in the CFL is perfect, although I think it worked fine in the Winnipeg-Toronto game. Mm. I do. I can explain why if you want. I think it would be criminal to win a game on a single point earned where the defending team or the team that gave it up didn't have a chance to not give it up. So,
well, we've seen that happen.
We have. And so, and I don't want to see that happen in, you know, a Grey Cup game or a playoff game or something. Last play of the game, 39-yard field goal, guy misses it and drills it through the end zone.
Right.
But what happened in this game Saturday was it landed in the end zone.
Right.
So my idea to tweak the single point is if a punt or a kick is playable by the team in the end zone, and they can't get it out, then you get a point. But if it goes through the end zone or out the side,
no point.
Then there's no point. I think that removes the problem with like some guy lining up from 20 yards and just blasting it wide and into the seats.
You could punt it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. You couldn't this way. It has to land. They have to have a chance to play it or you don't get a point. And I think that's an easy way to fix a big problem. Because look, if the Argos got a single point midway through the third quarter and then scored a touchdown to win by 1 point, nobody'd be even talking about this. It's just,
well,
it's
that's a
people,
good point.
Yeah, people's that, problem yeah. is that it happened.
That's the theory of yeah. relativity. It's not yeah. relative if it wasn't the winning point. I get yeah. you.
By the way, Einstein's theory of relativity may be bunk. Did you read
it? Yes, I did. That? Well, I yeah. didn't understand it.
Scientists have discovered a particle or a subparticle or something that travels yeah. faster than the speed of light, proving that yeah. Einstein...
was wrong.
He's a dumbass.
Whoa. By the way, he's not my favorite Albert Einstein.
Oh, no?
No. You, and he may not be your favorite Albert Einstein.
No,
do you know another Albert Einstein?
No.
I bet you do.
Do I?
Albert Brooks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's okay, his real
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
I am a big Albert Brooks fan. That's another thing.
Completely. Anyway, back to the kicking.
Yes, the kicking
so,
thing.
And I don't think fair catch is perfect. I'd like to see that change. I don't think no yards is perfect either.
Well, the no yards thing, again, I think that's the same sort of thing, though. It was there to protect people. I mean, I can understand. You've been in this situation. You're looking at a ball up in the air. Guys are coming at you, going as fast as they can.
I've never been in that situation.
Well,
did you think I played the game at some point?
Well, you probably weren't a returner. I can recall watching them pretty closely.
Yeah, in my softball games, I'd be out in left field, and people would be coming to tackle me as I was yeah. waiting to catch
them. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Call for a fair catch in left field. How does that work? But the fact of the matter is that, again, I think that was designed to protect people. And I get that. I think it loses something when the ball hits the ground, especially if it hits the ground and bounces back towards the team that's coming, trying to protect against a,
yeah.
a punt return,
yeah.
the kicking team. And to me, that's terribly unfair on two different grounds. One is the punt was obviously, you know, placed in such a manner that the guy, the returner, couldn't catch it. Secondly, it's coming back. That's already a negative to the team that's kicked it. to hit them again simply because of that seems like double jeopardy. It just doesn't seem right.
I agree with you. I think they need to tweak the bounce back.
I think as soon as it hits the ground.
Even if guys are within the five, let's say if the ball bounces, and even if guys are still within the 5 yards, but they are very definitely backpedaling, I think you've removed that advantage as well because they're going the wrong way, even if they're 3 yards.
But
don't drop the flag if it bounces back.
I'll agree with that, but I just think that there's maybe some discretion that could be used on those calls. The other parts of the kicking game in football, the kickoff in the NFL, while it's not perfect, you still have punt returns. You do have the fair catch down there, but generally speaking, that's only used maybe 20% tops, I would think.
Oh, no, I think it's way more than that.
I don't
have numbers
sure.
in front of me, but I think it's way more than that.
I'll give you 30% tops. I don't think it's much more than that.
I'll bet you it's over half.
Oh, no.
I
could. Well, let's make a little sideways
right.
on that. Okay,
right.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, it might be my imagination.
It's one of those plays that
so
seems...
Much
yeah,
that
of
just,
course.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the old thing on Top 40 radio. You know, people would say, you can't play the same songs over and over again. Well, you didn't mind it. It was the song you liked. It's the song you didn't like that made you realize that.
If it was the night Chicago died again and I'd heard it 2 hours before, sure. Love
bingo.
It.
Gotcha. Anyway, so I don't have a problem with the punting aspect of it in so far as the NFL goes. The no yards here, I have a problem. Yeah. Kickoffs, and as for the idea of a rouge, I think the whole thing should be taken out. I don't think you should be rewarded at all for failing.
Why is that any more ridiculous than third strike, catcher drops it, you can run to first? I never hear people complaining about oddball rules in other sports. It's just the poor little CFL just gets hammered all the time for the single point, which is a rule that has been around since time began.
Yep.
You know, so I think with the adjustments I've given that it can be... acceptable. And it's valuable. Last year, the Owls and the Argos played a game. And I want the single point alive because this thing happened. It was, you know, a tied game. Kick was missed. Guy tries to get it out, can't, kicks it out. Mm-hmm. Other team tries to run it, can't, kicks it back in. That is worth it. If I see that only once a season, and I usually
it's
do,
great
then
play.
It's worth it just to see. That's what we want in sports. Excitement, oddball stuff, entertainment. And, and it brings it. But... it would be ludicrous to have a team win a game on the final play when a guy blasts it 5 yards left of the goalpost and some guy in the end zone seats ends up catching it.
This is The Gist of It with Hayes and Landry.
So Wayne Simmons, not enough to be in the news once. Let's do it again.
Well, he didn't have a choice in the first one, did he?
No, he didn't. And I think that's an ugly incident. They were referring to, of course, him taking a... penalty shot, a shootout at the end of a game in London at the Labatt Center, and someone throws a banana on the ice. Of course, Wayne Simmons is black, so...
You know, it's entirely possible that it wasn't racially motivated. And before you laugh, I'm just... No, listen to the sentence.
Okay, all right.
It is entirely possible that it wasn't racially motivated, but probably not.
Well, here's the other thing about
there, there could be any one of a million inexplicable reasons for someone to do that. But the most logical one is, I mean, if you live by the adage, when you hear hoof beats, think horse, not zebra, then that's probably what happened.
Well, and the other part of this, though, Don, is I've been to, I'm going to say, hundreds of hockey games, both in NHL arenas, OHL arenas, local arenas. Never, not once, have I seen a banana stand.
Right.
Never
no banana stands.
Never, not once.
No Bluth family banana stands.
I have never brought a banana to a rink, nor do I ever intend to.
I know.
So I believe there might have been some premeditation to this.
Sure.
Now,
someone may just have taken a bunch of snacks and then decided to, because they're a Detroit fan, cause problems on the penalty. No, look, I personally believe it was racially motivated. I'm
of
just
course,
saying that there.
I understand
are
you're being. Yeah, there are.
Until they catch the guy and find out.
Well, hey, that's the other question, though. How could they not know who did this?
Well, yeah, somebody knows other than the guy or
so.
Gal,
you know what you do? You want to find out? You really want to find out who it is?
Sure.
You say, never will there ever be another NHL exhibition game in London until we find out.
I know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they're going in another direction. Some people have donated money and there's a reward that's growing. And eventually, I think this Lugan is going to be found out. Now, let's move ahead to the incident that happened in Philadelphia with the Rangers
Meshon Avery. Shocking to see he's in the middle of something.
You know, and again, there are many layers to this. I grew weary of Sean Avery many years ago, and then he comes out and he does this video about, you know, endorsing gay marriage in New York, and I think, okay, that's a good public service. I like that that guy's doing that, mm-hmm. but he still does stupid things on the ice all the time, and what drives me to the greatest distraction, or bothers me the most about him is, he constantly gets in people's faces, he roughs them up, he chirps away, and then when it's goat time, when the gloves are starting to come out, he just, oh my goodness, the horror of it, why would anyone want to fight? No, and he just turtles. And he did it to Simmons, and Simmons, I don't know if that was that same game or another game, but Simmons ended up going to the box for roughing because Avery started the thing and wouldn't see it through. Drives me incredibly nuts. But, and again, it's possible Wayne Simmons didn't say what he's accused of saying, but he didn't really deny it after the game. So should we operate under the assumption that he probably said it?
Yes, and I don't think it's a bad thing that he did. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's something that should be said or anything like that. I don't care, because I'm pretty sure on rinks around the NHL, on football fields around both Canada and the United States, both college and professional, I'm pretty sure you can say it in basketball and in every sport, there are a whole lot of things that we would call discouraging words, things that might hurt somebody's feelings. You know what? Nothing is ever meant by them. No one says these things because they're trying to upset you because that's what you are.
Right.
They're trying to get you off your game. That's all it is.
You don't believe in the notion that, and it's probably not an absolute anyway, that when ticked off, you will say something that's closer to your personal truth than if you're not ticked off and on your guard.
I think in the arena of a professional or of a sporting event, not even necessarily professional, I don't have a problem with that.
Anything
particular
goes?
Aspect. Well, I don't like the racial things when they come out. I don't think there's any call for them. But anything else, it's not meant.
But
it's
meant
simply to irritate. That's all it is.
I agree with that. And I think it's up to the players in the arena to decide over time. And I think they have what is onside and what's offside. It's like umpires. You can say certain things to umpires. You say certain other things. Guess what? You're going to get chucked. But, you know, I just wonder if saying something sexually insensitive isn't on a par with something that's racially insensitive. You seem to put it
somewhere else.
I think it's
something that like I said, I don't think anything's meant by it. I think it's a whole lot different.
But then why not allow everything?
Because I think I do believe that racial stuff should be, you know, that's offside. I do believe that. But anything else, in this particular instance, that's all I'm referring to. I don't think it's necessarily something that has to be gotten rid of. As a matter of fact, I think one of the things that's happened here is we're learning far too much of this stuff. I don't need to know what they're saying to each other on it. I don't want to know. Who cares? You know, if it gets somebody upset, because what's going to end up happening is we're going to end up with an NHL where, oh, did I hit you? Did I give you a little boo-boo? And then someone's going to go, boo-boo, he's anti-bear.
That one went top shelf over my shoulder. That was a nice shot, but I did finally get it. I'm fishing that puck out of my net. But this is how I feel about, to go back to our other topic about kicking. You know, guys are going to get hurt. Sure, okay, but where are you going to stop then? I mean, if you worry about an NHL that's going to become a little too sanitized, I worry about football becoming that way too, because guys get hurt all over the place. You know, are you going to stop tackling? Are you going to stop sacking? Is it going to be too
There's a difference between hurting somebody's feelings and hurting somebody's knees. That's how I see that.
No, that's not necessary. You know, sticks and stones, to a certain extent, but you know, we know lots of examples in life where people have taken their life because they were bullied. Words do matter. They do matter. Now, no, it's not going to happen on an NHL ice surface in that way. So,
no.
Let's get back and give it some context. I don't want to steer you off course here, but I if you bring up that words don't matter as much as actions, I don't think that's true.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in this particular instance, it's different. It's a different arena. That's all I'm saying. And I think as far as that goes...
Nothing? For Wayne Simmons?
Well, no, I don't think so.
It's Don Landry and Bill Hayes. and you're getting The Gist of It.
I have to say, Bill, that I'm enjoying Brendan Shanahan's videos on NHL.com. I'm sorry that there are so many of them so far.
It's a recurring series.
Does it not look kind of like an audition for E-Talk? Brendan comes out, he's all casual. Starts the same way and just says, I'm Brendan Shanahan, the Senior Vice President of Player Safety for the NHL. He could come out and say, I'm Brendan Shanahan and let's quit effing around.
That's exactly what he's doing. You're paraphrasing.
Yeah, I am. And I like the videos. I agree or disagree with the calls. I think that most people like the fact that this is being done by the NHL, that the Vice President of Player Safety is out there saying, here's what happened, here's some video, here's the rule, here's my decision, and here's why. It's very good. You can get it at any time. Colin Campbell used to have to make the rounds of radio stations and TV stations. I don't think he did this. I don't remember.
No, he didn't.
So it's a great initiative. It's too bad that he's had to throw the book at so many players so quickly in the preseason. But I'm glad he has, because it's time that the new sheriff rode into town. You know, throwing a few metaphorical elbows, I guess, at the guys who are doing the dirty work. I'm for this. Big penalties early. Stop the nonsense.
I've tweeted, actually, and we've talked about Twitter several times today. I've tweeted that I believe that, you know, giving, especially Wisniewski, 8 games for this will somewhat quickly stop the nonsense. Guys are lunkheads. I mean, a part of the truth of the hockey culture is that kind of play has always been in the game and probably always should be. However, the fact that a guy like Brendan Shanahan, a Hall of Famer if ever there were one, a guy who played a tough game, Brendan Shanahan was a guy who got his nose dirty. When he starts handing out these kinds of sentences, what it's really telling these perpetrators is, we're not accepting it anymore. And it's been an argument in the hockey world for quite some time. The old school guys saying, it's part of the game, you got to do this, you got to call out. Look, head hits especially are much more violent, much more is known about them now, the damage that they can cause. When you have your best player out of the game for half the season last year, no one's sure if he's going to be back early this year. People have to start taking notice. And it seems to me that's exactly what's happening now at the NHL. And I'm with you. I applaud this. I also really like the way they're doing it, because no more airy-fairy answers to questions. Well, we think of this because of that. No. He directly tells you why he made the decision, what came into that decision. The fact that Wisniewski was a repeat offender was a big part of this. The fact that Brad Boyce, who also got a 2-game suspension for preseason games, came into that decision because he'd never been suspended in his career. And Brad Boyce is not a dirty player. I'm not suggesting Wisniewski is, but he's done this before.
You know, the only thing I would complain about with regards to the Wisniewski decision is, it, if anything, is too soft based on him being a repeat offender. Next step for the NHL, I think, and I believe they'll take it with Brendan Shanahan in his position, is to be much harsher on repeat offenders like Wisniewski, like, well, Jody Shelley, my God. You know,
I was
and be harder on first time offenders too, because after all, is the goal to keep repeat offenders from doing stupid things, or is the goal to keep anybody from doing something stupid?
Well,
if Alex Ovechkin,
that's going to be the great,
or Sidney Crosby does that. They're not likely to. Ovechkin more likely than Crosby, I suppose, does that. There will come a point, I believe, pretty swiftly, where that'll be 8 games for the guy who does it for the first time.
Well, that'll be the test. Because Ovechkin's done that Shelley hit. He's done it several times.
Yeah. If he's a bad example for me.
No, he's a great example. No, because if he gets 8 games, then you know what? Then they really mean it.
No, but then beyond that, a guy who plays clean, who doesn't do that kind of thing, when he gets 8 games and the guy who Ovechkin gets 12 and Jody Shelley gets 25, or the next time you're out for the rest of the season, and guess what? 2 more times and we don't want you to play in our league. That will come at some point, I do believe.
I think that's a step that we won't see for quite some time. I do think that Ovechkin is the great example of this, because he has played on the edge, and he is an impact player. He is a guy that you pay tickets to watch. For instance, I just divvied up some season's tickets here. The Washington game's big. Everyone wants them. The folks at MLSE are selling those games as premium tickets. If he's not there, all of a sudden, I'm wondering, why am I paying premium price? You know that if he does this and gets eight games, you know that the league is serious. On the other hand, if he doesn't get three, you got a whole new problem on your hands. It'll be interesting to see when it happens, and you know it will. I absolutely believe it will.
Well done, NHL. Well done, Brendan Shanahan. We both agree on that. The only thing is, let's just jazz up the videos a little bit. You know what? Next time, maybe a cigar in the mouth, an Uzi. Yeah. I'm Brendan Shanahan. Say hello to my little friend!
I think Michael Vick should change his number to 9.
To 9?
And then on the back of it, instead of having V-I-C-K, just have K. K-9.
I got it. I didn't at first. 9K. What, 9,000? I don't understand. What? Oh, no, the K would be on top.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it's good for Ocho Cinco.
Why not?
You know, in the meta world peace. I mean, why not, you know, just go to one initial?
Wow.
I got no problem with that. Michael Vick, after he got bounced around by the New York Giants, and they thought broke his hand, turns out it's bruised.
Just a bruise,
maybe it is broken. Who knows? Maybe it is broken. They don't want to tell anybody. I don't know. But at his media conference afterward, of course, he's chagrined because he doesn't think he's getting the calls. Now, I didn't think he... It's not like he went to the podium, grabbed the mic, and said, "What the hell's going on here? How come I'm getting knocked around and no calls are made?" He was asked about it, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. And then, at the very least, when he brought it up, he's kind of measured about it. I thought, just kind of matter-of-factly, said, "No, I don't think I get the calls that other quarterbacks get."
I think he might get fined for it. He shouldn't. I think he makes a good point. I think part of that, though, is the way he plays. A lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, it seems to me, are protected. I think of Peyton Manning. I think of Tom Brady. Those guys, you get within 3 feet of them, and you know you can see the referee going for the flag even before you touch them. Now, I get that. They're stars. Michael Vick's a star, too. But Michael Vick's game includes running around, doing a lot of other stuff that where he's not just sort of seeing the rush and deciding, "I'll fall, leave me alone."
Yeah.
Which those guys tend to do. I'm being somewhat hyperbolic about it. But the point is, he's not getting the calls. He's right about that. And what happens is you bring it up once, maybe you pay a $10,000 fine, whatever it might be, but you start getting whistles. And
I think that's the important thing here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he did it by design or if he... I'm not sure that he's smart enough to do it by design.
I
think he just was honest.
Yep.
And because then the next day, pulling into practice, someone, you know, says, "Roll down the window. Here's a microphone. What do you got to say about that?" Well, maybe I shouldn't have done what I did. I shouldn't have said it. I think he said it was something about him being... It was out of character for him. Well, I'm not so sure about... Really? Do you want to bring up the issue of character, Michael Vick? Please do not bring up the issue of character. Please.
Probably not wise.
But at any rate, he may very well have thought, yeah, I overstepped. I shouldn't have. Part of the reason being, I'm Michael Vick, and people aren't going to allow me to do that, to play that card, to be the victim. And the hit did contravene NFL rules, as are clearly stated by, oddly enough, Brendan Shanahan on their website. Would that be something? I'm Brendan Shanahan, and I'm going to tell you about the NFL rules, too. So the call should have been made. It wasn't. And I think part of it is more so because Michael Vick is Michael Vick, and he's been in jail for killing dogs, and his character leaves a lot to be desired. Not that I would suggest a referee would specifically say... A dog killer. I think I'm going to let him get pushed around a little bit. But I think, you know, that's Michael Vick. He's not, I think Cam Newton would probably get more calls too, to tell you the truth. He's a decent young fellow and a good quarterback. But so I was going to point at some other quarterbacks, but I'd hate to have it turn into a racial thing. I mean, if it's Tom Brady.
Well, I don't think it's anything like that.
Somebody else. It's just that he's Michael Vick, and he's known to be a jerk, and I don't really care if he gets hit if I'm a referee, and maybe not even consciously, but subconsciously.
Hey, one of the things about that league, the refereeing, more so than in any league I can think of, doesn't bring things like that into account, except, as I mentioned earlier, in the cases of quarterbacks who they are obviously trying to protect. I firmly believe that with Michael Vick, it has nothing to do with who he is. It's the game he plays. He's a different type of quarterback.
I don't believe that. I think that's way off base here. Look, the rule states in the pocket, out of the pocket, let go of the ball, vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. It doesn't matter that he's a guy who runs around and takes off and gets out of the pocket. It doesn't matter where that quarterback is. He lets go of the ball, and then that kind of thing happens to him, then it is supposed to be called. So I don't believe it has anything to do with the game that he plays.
It's Phil Hayes and Don Landry, and you're getting the gist of it.
An Ontario election. I can't think of anything more, what would be the word? Boring.
So many to choose from.
Yeah, no, it's just not really even top of mind, is it?
It's not enticing me the way the federal campaign did. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe that's on me. Maybe I haven't tried.
I don't think you're alone.
But it doesn't seem to be as... I don't know why that is. Is McGuinty a little plain? Hudak plain? Andrea Horvath a little plain? Is anybody really...
There's no real issue, is there?
Turn it into some kind of a pie fight? No. Well, see, that's the... I was talking to what I would term a Liberal Party insider many months ago. And McGuinty was down in the polls. And he expressed great confidence that the Liberals would be able to change the conversation a little bit when election campaign time came around. And maybe they have done that. Because as we've seen, I think the last poll showed them dead even at 35%
each. Yep.
So... maybe they have been able to change the conversation from what is an easy one for an opposition leader to bring about, which is dissatisfaction with the incumbent, especially when they've been in there. How long has it been there?
8 years, I think.
8 years. Yep. And maybe the Liberals have done a really good job of what they said they were going to do, which is change the conversation to the education premier. Look what has happened over the course of those 8 years. Here's the plan going ahead. Maybe that's what's happened here, and that has settled things down. Maybe the Tories have not been able to grab some kind of a, or gotten any traction with the he'll tax you to death issue. He said he wouldn't raise taxes, he did. He said it again, he did. He said it again, he did. It just, that doesn't seem to be taking off as well as they would have liked. And so maybe there just isn't that linchpin throw the bum out issue.
I also think that as a leader, Tim Hudak is... Hudakian.
It's what?
Well, exactly. Hudakian. He's very... How do you define the guy? I mean, I just don't get any sense from him at all. And I think...
It's better than being Santorum-like.
Well, maybe.
If your name is going to be changed into a noun or an... You don't want it to be Santorum. Google it.
Santorumian.
Right? But be prepared.
Yeah. Hudakian is... I don't get any sense for him. And I think... Look, it's very difficult to get a sense of McGuinty, too. I mean, he's... Call him the education premier if you want. I call him boring. But right now, I look around the world. Ontario's in a pretty good spot. You know, why make a change?
Maybe that's what it is then. Would this be the reason why Hockey Night in Canada, Trump's election night coverage on CBC, they have made the decision. They kicked it around a little bit. Same night, October 6th, you've got Leafs and Habs. It also happens to be election night. Oh, what do we do? What do we do? Well, they decided actually pretty quickly, we'll put the hockey game on.
Well,
as the public broadcaster, are they failing us in choosing that?
They're going to go. It'll go to News World. You can still get it. I mean, you know, I think the fact of the matter is that more people in this province would be interested in the Leafs-Habs game.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing you have to keep in mind here is, not just any Leafs-Habs game, it's the start of the season. I'm not making that as a defensive statement. I'm just saying I can sort of understand where the CBC is coming from here. It's interesting. I think you'll hear some people say, well, that's not their mandate, but you won't hear it from me.
Right. Well, there is another channel on which they can plunk election coverage,
exactly.
So I'm okay with it. But, I mean, maybe that argument doesn't hold as much water as it used to. It used to be when a lot of people still had... you know, rabbit ears or an antenna, and you could, you know, you couldn't get their news.
That's
channel.
Right. If it wasn't over the air, yeah, you couldn't get it at all.
You know, now I think you probably can. Well, maybe you can't. It's a specialty channel. Maybe you don't get it digitally. So maybe there is an argument to be made. But also just, you know, ethically, the public broadcaster should be showing a hockey game as opposed to giving people the up to the second election coverage. You know what I say, Bill? There's no, you don't need to choose. I think you can morph the two, Hockey Night in Canada and Election Night in Ontario. And on donlandry.com, I'll put a little link to this off this podcast page. Go to it and read it. And that's how I think it would sound, by the way, with both teams converging. For instance, having both Glenn Healy and Wendy Mesley in between the benches. Things like that. They didn't have to make the choice. They could have just brought the two together. Who doesn't want Rex Murphy to give them their highlights package?
Well,
who doesn't want PJ Stock on a panel about politics? I do.
Well, I don't. But I do. I do want to see Don Cherry giving the results of the riding of Nipissing. That's a dirty. What the hell? I don't understand how we think like that there.
One final thought here, I guess. I heard the other day that Betty White, who, by the way, at the age of 9, I believe she's proving that 90 is the new 75.
Okay, sure.
Yes.
I'll buy that.
I didn't think I'd ever say that, but 90 is the new 75. She's put out a rap song. I haven't heard it. I don't know what it's about, but I'll bet you it's about her and Ed Asner knocking off some guy who dissed them on the set of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. How did Chuckles the Clown really die? Ed and Betty busted a cap in his ass. That's probably how that really ended.
And that's the gist of it for another week. The Gist of It is available every Wednesday afternoon through iTunes or at donlandry.com.